You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, on last week's show, on our last show, singer Rosanda Chili Thomas versus singer, superstar, icon, Beyonce. She was on. We talked about people who passed in 2013, and we had a discussion on Idris Elba. He didn't like the term Black Bond. And our Uncle Ruckus watch with Don Lemon again on the Duck Dynasty character stuff. So all of that is in the archives. You can go check it out at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. That's Black on Black Crime. So you want to check that out. Now on this program, I guess I should have got to that first, NBA's stars, Kevin Durant versus three-times NBA champion Dwayne Wade. We'll talk about that. Film critic Armand White versus director Stephen McQueen. And, you know, speaking of Stephen McQueen, we're going to have a lot on 12 Years a Slave. You know, it's Oscar season. They're getting awards and nominations and all that. But this black film critic thought he would say something to Steve McQueen, claim he was drunk. And also we have a discussion. Kevin Hart says that Saturday Night Live hiring of a black woman is not about race. This is just a discussion. I don't know if this is a black-on-black crime, but we have that. And also, I'm going to spotlight a clip from the Arsenio Hall show, kind of a preview, but it already happened, and it had 12 Years a Slave director Steve McQueen on there, so we're going to take a break and listen to that later on in the show. We have that, a new segment called Where's My Publicist? It's just because of the Madonna comments about her calling her child the N-word on Twitter. She needs a publicist. We have that, the world of news, entertainment, and more. Thanks for tuning in. And you can send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com or join our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BOBC Show. That's /BOBC Show. All right, now if you're new, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. That is the premise of our show, and I want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime. Before we get started, we'd like to go through some news, some information, just to get you caught up as we broadcast the show today on the MLK holiday. That's Martin Luther King Day is today, and I want to make sure that we acknowledge that, and since it's kind of MLK Day has turned into Civil Rights Day for everyone, with the passing of Nelson Mandela and the remembrance or just remembering Malcolm X, so I thought MMM, Mandela, Martin, Malcolm, we'll do them on MLK holiday. And also, today is the 5th anniversary of the first African-American president of the United States. That's right, Barack Obama. It was his inauguration day. The very first inauguration was on today. Now, on that note, let's go to the phone lines and bring in our commissioner, Kathleen. How are you, Commish?
Hey, I'm doing great today, Rome. Happy Dr. King Day. Happy MMM Day.
MMM, yeah, there you go. It'll be forever known as 3M or M-Tray Day. That's what it is.
M-Tray.
You know, we have to jazz it up. It is kind of, that's my thing about loving your folks. That's what I'm going to call it. That's all the love I have. So you guys can call it something else. It's Dr. King's holiday. But for me, it's M-Tray Day. So everybody will know that's Mandela, Malcolm, Martin, all wrapped into one for me. Civil Rights Day, as they so poignantly disrespectfully call it in Utah. They call it Civil Rights Day. Disrespectful. I'm not going to cuss today.
Well, at least they called it Civil Rights Day, you know. At least they called it Civil Rights Day. I mean, they could have called it something else.
No, 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 no. See, you're being nice. That's you being nice. All I'm saying is that they don't call any other day by the universal name is the Martin Luther King National Holiday. It's the MLK Holiday. So you don't rename holidays because you're scared to say this man's name. Like, that
That's
is
true.
Racist.
Right? True that.
So I'm going to call St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to call that not Kwanzaa. Like, it's like renaming something. You see my point? Like, you can't just rename the day because you don't want to acknowledge the person.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
All right, so did you see in the news, I don't know if you watched the football game with the Seattle Seahawks. By the way, if you don't know, the Denver Broncos won and the Seattle Seahawks won, and they're headed to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So that's the main point. And now Seattle Seahawks player Richard Sherman launched this live TV rant after the San Francisco 49er rival Michael Crabtree. Now,
the news programs are acknowledging the racism, or they're talking about him? Okay.
Well, they're talking about him because he was out of line, right? But he didn't curse. He didn't throw up any gestures, didn't give anybody the finger. He didn't, like, none of that. He was just loud and talking noise.
Talking trash.
He was taunting. Yes. Because after the play, he went over and pat the receiver on the butt, and the guy mushed him in a helmet, and he got an unsportsmanlike conduct. But he was talking noise.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I didn't want to bring that up. I forgot about you and Kai and that patting on the butt thing. But he did. Got hit him on the butt after. It was like, but I guess leading up to the game, they were talking noise. He says, and from what I understand, he's actually pretty good. He was saying he's the best in the game, and then the opponents were saying he sucks, and he gets this game-saving play. So he got over enthusiastic. And I think it's kind of Fox News, too. You just don't throw a mic into somebody's face right after that happened. All right. So I just wanted to see if you saw
Is he part of the Who's Your Publicist?
Yeah, he should have. I'm going to add him over there. We're going to talk about him later in our Who is your publisher section, our new segment, because we seem to have one of these all the time that people really need to use their inside voice and hire a publicist.
But remember, we said we were going to start that company and we didn't do it. I'm pitching it again to you, Rome. I really think that we should. And Madonna needs to be our first client.
I think what happens to people is they pretty much say, you know, I'm grown and blah, 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 and I can say what I want to. And then they come back issuing 1,000 apologies, just like this guy did. So he's apologizing. He wrote an op-ed or something today, and Madonna came back. When we get to the Madonna story, you'll hear all of her stuff, but she needs more than a timeout, you know. But anyway, so, yeah, who's your publicist? We should put that in there because Kevin Hart is on the show, too. We have a Kevin Hart discussion about him saying that Saturday Night Live did not hire. Well, let me just do this. On today's show, I'll reiterate, since we're just talking about news, you're listening to the Black on Black Crime, and we just kind of talk about some news stories before we get into the show. But on this program, Kevin Durant, via Twitter, says something about Dwayne Wade. So Kevin Durant versus Dwayne Wade, critic Armand White versus 12 Years a Slave director Steve McQueen, and then Kevin Hart says that Saturday Night Live hiring a black woman is not about race. We have that and a clip from Arsenio Hall. I just wanted to make sure I repeat that since I talked about Kevin Hart, because I'm going to mention that, you know, over the weekend, the buddy cop comedy featuring Kevin Hart with Ice Cube debuted at $41.2 million, according to their estimates. It debuted number one, Ride Along. Ride Along marks the biggest debut for a film release during Martin Luther King Day weekend and puts it on track to top the $40 million record set by the movie Cloverfield for the biggest opening in January ever. So they're beating them. Now,
okay.
You know, we've had Tyler Perry discussions on here and Spike Lee and John Singleton and all this. Do you know the director? I can't even think of his name. I was going to ask you, did you know who it was? Tim Story,
no.
Who's directing this. Do you know, as an African-American, his last five films, $900 million.
And we don't know his name.
I knew who he was, but he's directed Think Like a Man. What is it, The Fantastic Four? Is that the one with Jessica Alba, the superhero kind of thing? She and Fantastic Four. His last five films, he's going to hit over $1 billion. And, again, five films. Tyler Perry, 13 films, not even close. You could add in all of the known black directors together, and they did not make as much money as Tim Story has made over his last five films.
Wow.
So the reason I'm mentioning this, because the L.A. Times did a story just kind of saying something about, do we know who Tim Story is as a black film director? No, he made all this money, and he still was black, and he's not, it's not even suspect that he's black. He is black, but nobody actually knew that they were raking in all this money. I did because
and
I read
I'm
this
sorry
stuff
they
every
re-
day.
I'm sorry they reported it.
I probably would have mentioned it, but I am sorry that they reported it as well. But he doesn't just do black films either. But he's done Tim Story has done a lot of film. Like his is diverse. So some of the films that he did didn't. I think he did a Latifah and Queen Latifah and
didn't he do Holiday?
Perfect
Holiday or something with
I think he did.
Cool J, wasn't that him?
Yep, and Steve Martin, right? Is that the one with Steve Martin?
No, Steve Martin. That was the house something eating down the house or something like that.
Oh yeah, that was a comedy. So
that was the one with Queen Latifah and LL Cool J. I think it was called.
Did I not enunciate that? My bad.
What? Queen Latifah?
Why?
I'll tell you why I say it like that, because I watch her talk show, and she says it every day, and I'm noticing that she says it like that, and I said, all these years I've been calling her Queen Latifah, and she is Queen Latifah.
She used to say Latifah's had it up to here. She used to say Queen Latifah's had it up to that was how she said it too. But since she's doing television, she's enunciating. That's all that is. All right. Now, I think we have Kai on the line, so let's just bring in Kai. How are you, Kai?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Kai.
I'm good.
Hey. I was listening to you trying to remember that movie. I think it was Last Holiday or The Last Holiday with LL.
Oh, yes, it was. It was. It was the Last Holiday.
I only watched
it a
couple of million times.
Oh, my fault. See, that would be something I have no experience with, so I would have gotten it wrong to begin with. So.
Yeah, he was the motivating factor.
Who was that, LL?
LL was the motivating
baby.
Factor.
Oh, baby.
All right. See, I would say Latifah was my motivating factor, but she wasn't because I didn't watch it. See, so she didn't motivate me. Actually, and I like her talk show. She does a really good job. It's
very
pretty,
good job.
I haven't seen it. I'm ashamed to say since Will Smith was on there, but I love the fact that she keeps reinventing herself. I think that's awesome.
She's really good. This is her second. Yeah. This is her second attempt at a talk show. And the first one, it was just kind of, it wasn't produced well. It certainly didn't have the glamour and glitz that this one has, the acoustics, the beauty. Certainly she is even a lot more refined. The last time she came out, she was kind of still more in that rapper edge mode. Now there's a lot more glamour, a lot more glitz, and some incredible guests. The last time it was more kind of
she was trying to be late night funny.
Well, yeah, but also kind of like, who's that guy that, the crazy talk show host with the crazy stories on there all the time, people beating up each other and talking crap? Who's that guy?
Jerry Springer?
I have no clue.
Jerry Springer. It was more Springer-ish. You know, just more focused on the audience and the kind of foolishness that they could come up with. And it just really wasn't that great. But now she's competing with the big dogs, and I think
and,
she's doing an incredible job.
I was trying to remember it, but she was telling Barbara Walters about it, and she was saying at the time she walked away from it because she wasn't ready, and I guess she just needed to leave and mature. But I don't even remember it. I was trying to remember that show.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
That it was years ago. I want to say probably even maybe, if not 15, maybe 20 years. But she had begun acting. She was already living single. And I want to say it was at the end. It wasn't during Living Single. I want to say it was at the end of the reign of Living Single that they put her into that talk show. And it just wasn't classy. I think the other person who came out with a talk show, it was like when everybody was coming out with a talk show after their series had ended. So that young lady from The Cosby Show, Tempest Bledsoe, they tried to give her a talk show. I think it was during the Ricky Lake time.
I think it was during the vacuum of Arsenio being gone. So Magic Johnson came out. Like, a bunch of people came out with talk shows when they figured that they can fill the void of Arsenio being gone. And so since Arsenio's back, it seems funny that Steve Harvey and those guys are morning shows. But in Steve Harvey,
and he lost
great as
her,
well.
And graciously, he lost to, I guess, whatever recent award show, the NAACP Awards or something, or the BET Awards, one of them, but Arsenio lost to Queen Latifah, and I don't get to watch his show that often, but he opened the show by congratulating her. I thought that was really cool, really cool the way he handled that.
Oh, like
that
recently?
Is cool.
This just happened?
Yeah, I think it was like an Image Award or something, or talk show, Best New Talk Show something. And I caught the end of it, but he was very gracious and, you know.
Yeah,
well,
also,
why did he have to lose to her? Why did he lose to her? It was a black program? And only one of them could get
it? BET or NAACP or something.
It might be the NAACP Image Awards.
Yeah.
But
and she won
because
for Best New Talk Show or something.
She does have a really she does have a classy show. The way she does her show, it's not tabloid at all. It's produced
very
by
classy.
The Smiths, by Will
and her
Will
audience
and Gata.
Is different from his audience.
Yeah,
and not in a bad way, but they have two different kinds of
he has
you know,
a nighttime
kind of
audience. He does more edge stuff, like you know the audience
right.
is different because it's
right.
daytime. So she was more comparable to Steve Harvey's daytime talk show where they do makeovers and the Best Bachelor.
Right.
like a something.
I don't understand why would they put them up against each other? The shows are completely different. I mean, I understand it's a talk show. But he's in that category of the Conans and the, you know, Leno when he was there and Letterman and those guys. He's like with
them, just
no fancy set, no nothing, you know, just like three chairs and an audience, a band, and the jokes, and that's it.
Yeah, they're victims of not having enough black programming, so they have to lump in anybody to talk
they gotta,
on TV
you know,
to a talk show.
Ridiculous.
Squeeze them in where they can.
Right, they didn't say black late night opposed to daytime. Like, you know how you have the daytime Emmy awards, then they have the nighttime ones? You don't have enough black. You got to put them all in,
in one box.
Put them
all together. That's what's like, wasn't there enough for them to recognize the difference between those two shows? They absolutely
I think it was just for new, Best New Talk Show or something.
Best
or
New Talk Show, perhaps.
Yes, so I guess they put them all in that one that one category.
Anything new?
Crabs in the NAACP barrel.
Uh-oh. Do we have to throw a flag at our commissioner?
I think that that's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. They don't compare at all. She's comparable now to Oprah, and nobody would have pitched Oprah against, you know, Conan O'Brien or they're just not the same. They're not the same. Not even close. Hey. So that I think that and whoever did that show needs a black on black crime. They need one.
and I also want to say
I'm serious.
Yeah, I think Arsenio deserves a lot of accolades for his show, too. He's doing a really, really good job.
He's doing an incredible job. And to knock him out the box against a show that doesn't even match his is just stupid.
It's like putting him up against a soap opera. It's like, Arsenio or, One Night
Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, Days of Our Lives. I picked one that wasn't even on air. If he'd have lost to them, that would have been a problem.
I mean, basically it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking of award shows, BET Honors, which tapes in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, February 8th, will be broadcast on February 24th, 9 o'clock, during Black History Month. So this year's event will honor Aretha Franklin, Berry Gordy, Kenneth Chenault, the chairman and CEO of American Express, Carrie Mae Weems, who's an artist and an activist, and Ice Cube, or O'Shea Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Jackson. So it's hosted by Wayne Brady. It's going to be funny. But did you see last year's broadcast with Gabrielle Union? Because she did a great job when she hosted.
She was good.
Halle Berry, T.D. Jakes, Chaka Khan, and Clarence Avant, and Lisa Leslie.
And that was nice. I liked the way that was handled, the way it was done. And that was very classy. I did like that. And I normally don't watch award shows, but
Yeah, I did too. And they had 2 million viewers, and it was the number one watched cable special at the time. So hopefully that this honors will be, similar to that one. But they really, really have to give it up for BET for that particular program, because that was really good. Did you get a chance to see it, Kathleen?
I'm still mad at Queen Latifah and Arsenio. I'm sorry.
You're still mad.
I'm still steaming over here. Sorry. Okay. Let me catch up.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. Somebody's going to get a letter.
Thank you for calling my name, because I was like over here. I didn't even hear what you guys were talking about. I'm surprised you didn't hear me.
Kai, all that means is I think we need to go to break with Kathleen.
Yeah.
She was like, that is
got
a hard boy.
We
just
come up against each other. I mean, I just do not get it.
And I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think I heard it right.
What's that? All right.
I'm going to get some water.
You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're going to take a break and let Kathleen calm down a little bit. And we'll be back. We're going to give you a little bit more news. We'll be back after this message.
So I've come up with a family emergency plan.
Great. What is it?
It's difficult to talk about, so I'm not telling you.
How will we know what to do?
You won't.
I'm so glad I won't have to remember anything.
And me too. Thanks for this, sweetie.
Talk to your kids about who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information.
If I got to go to college, oh my goodness, I like discovering new things. You get to see what works for you and what doesn't. That helps you evolve as a person. You get to make like a supernova of skill or talent or whatever it is. I've always wanted to go to college. I just feel like that's my destiny. My name is Queen, and I am your dividend.
With over 200 lunch combos, there's something for everyone in the neighborhood, and they start at just $6.99.
$6.99? Consider my mind blown.
Boom.
Lunch combos at Applebee's starting at just $6.99. Now with new honey pepper flavor. See you tomorrow.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. President Barack Obama announced new limits on how the United States will use secretly mass-collected phone data, emphasizing the aim of detecting and countering terrorism and five other areas of national security. The president has announced $100 million in grants to help better prepare high school students to compete in the global economy. The Los Angeles Appeals Court has rejected Conrad Murray's bid to have his conviction for involuntary manslaughter of the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson, overturned. Now, the court ruled that there was substantial evidence of guilt laid out in his trial in 2011. Conrad only served 2 of his 4-year jail sentence. Beanie Babies creator Ape Ty Warner must pay $80 million in back taxes and fines and serve 2 years probation for failing to report $24 million in a Swiss bank account. The U.S. Court of Appeals affirmed the ruling that Florida cannot drug test welfare recipients. The court said there is no set of circumstances under which the warrantless drug testing at issue in this case could be constitutionally applied. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprit News.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I'm on with my girl, Kai, authentic columnist, Kai Sims. Hey, Kai.
Hello.
Hello. I thought you had me on mute. And we have our commissioner of Black on Black Crime, who committed a crime and needed a breather. We have Kathleen on. How are you,
So wait a minute. I drank some water.
Okay.
I'm feeling much better. It was nice and cool. I had a cool drink of water, tall, cool drink of water, as they say in Jamaica. And,
need a moment of meditation on Black Old Black Cry. So make sure you add that next time. All right, now on this program, our main topic, NBA Kevin Durant versus Dwayne Wade. Some comments about that. Film critic Armand White made some comments about the director of 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen. But first, I want to go to Kevin Hart. Now, Kevin Hart says that Saturday Night Live hiring a black woman was not about race. So I guess we should start this off with a discussion opposed to going into our crimes, because I don't think, I'm not sure if this is a crime, so you guys are going to tell me now. Kevin Hart doesn't believe that race was a factor in Saturday Night Live's decision to hire a black female comedian. In a recent interview with CNN to promote his new movie, Ride Along, Hart said, "People are making a big deal out of virtually nothing." Hart revealed that he once auditioned for Saturday Night Live. He said, "I didn't get SNL. I didn't have anything to do. It didn't have anything to do with my race at the time. I wasn't right for the part," is what he explained. But Hart also added that there was probably plenty of black women who auditioned, but simply were not what the show had in mind. So, and they've made this black woman issue, this black woman thing an issue, is what he said. And I don't think it's fair to other black women, because other black women stand up and say, yeah, we don't need a chance. Like, it's kind of holding them back. And then you got 3,000 black women coming out for one opportunity for what seems to be the black woman part, is what he continued to say. And one more thing, I know I'm being long-winded with Kevin Hart, but I just want to get his whole thought out there before I cut him up. I mean, you guys cut him up. It's so much about nothing. Congratulations to her. She had an audition. She got the part, not because she was black, but because she was qualified. Now, I think what he, you know, is missing literally is that Saturday Night Live had a black showcase for female comedians. They were the only ones invited, but they weren't there because they were black. So, Kai, you can go first with Kevin Hart. What do you think about Kevin Hart?
Did we expect him to say something? I'm trying to understand what he's saying, and if I'm understanding it correctly, he's saying that it wasn't about her race, it was about her talent. And maybe from the comedic world and that side of it, that's maybe really what he truly thinks he sees. But from our side looking in, I hope that a lot of it was about her talent. I hope that the majority of it was about her talent and because she was qualified. But it definitely is about her race. I mean, I mean, how do you not see that? But, you know, he seems to be a fairly intelligent man. So, I mean, I don't think he's saying that just to because he doesn't believe it. That might actually be what he believes. But clearly it was about race. And just for the record, we're going to get this uproar probably again soon with Latinos and Asians, you know. I think he's trying to open the door for other circumstances for them to diversify.
Now, this is what I hate about race conversations for me, is that because black people have one black person, that we should be quiet from there. Now, this is the first black female they had on the cast in 6 years.
Right.
So,
and that changed.
In the history of that show. Yeah.
Right. And I guess my thing is we shouldn't even have to have this discussion in the first place. In 2014, we're still saying that, I mean, like what you just said, there hasn't been a black woman on there in 6 years, really? That shouldn't even be a discussion.
Well, I don't know if you heard that Lorne Michaels said that he just didn't find any, there was not abundance of funny black female comedians. And that was a joke. That's why it was racist, in that when Kerry Washington went on there, they had made fun of themselves by not having a black woman on there, by having
by
two black men
right.
play black
and female
characters.
And maybe his idea of funny is different from our idea of funny. That's
I think
he really
say
crazy. That? It's like five women popping in my head right now.
I know. Commiss, you're up. What do you think about Kevin Hart's comments about Saturday Night Live? Hiring of a black woman is not about race.
Okay, I just wanted to know, how old is this black woman? Is she older than, like, maybe 21, 22?
Yeah. I think she's in her 30s.
Okay,
yeah.
So wasn't she funny last year? Maybe the year before?
No. And the year before?
I'm just
and
saying,
they have
two if she's talented enough to get hired today, then likely she was talented to get hired 6 months ago. And, you know, the same people he's saying that he couldn't find any talented, suddenly they were able to find a talented black woman.
Right.
And I also bet you that there are more. I bet you she might not be the only one.
Yeah.
There might be another funny black woman that's talented enough to make it on Saturday Night Live. Go figure. You know, so I think it's all nonsense. And I think Kevin Hart was not as intelligent as you say, Kai. I think that he meant well. I think I know where he was going with this. Like, you know, the reverse affirmative action thing. I think that's where
he was
going
CNN.
With that. He was trying I think he was trying really hard to get there. Yes, you know, and just trying to say, okay, well, it's not, we're not being hired because of our race. We're being hired because of our talent. Yeah, but how about, we're not being hired because of our race, you know? We're not being hired because of our talent, because that's what was happening for her before and all the other black women who are talented enough. See, the problem how you get spun around in that little hamster wheel there is he's trying to say that she's being hired because of her talent, not her race, then he's actually supporting the very thing that they said on Saturday Night Live, that they couldn't find
that they
any
had
talented
no talent.
Black people.
Right.
So does he realize that that's what he's saying? So, you know, and then he's going to go and slam himself and say that he wasn't ready. Because you weren't ready, Kevin, doesn't mean that there's no other black men or women in the world that weren't ready for the job. You know, good for you if you want to admit that you weren't ready, but don't put that on everybody else.
Yeah. And it's ironically, the two women who they hired as writers, they're very recognizable and funny as well. So, all of a sudden you have three talented African-American women that you didn't have 6 months or 6 years ago. They've been around for more than that because I've seen them on different things. But, you know, now all of a sudden everyone just became talented like in the last month.
Right. So you're talking about LaKendra Tookes and Leslie Jones. They were hired on as writers.
As the writer, yes.
Right. So, again, Fanet Live doesn't have any black writers, so it's very difficult for them to write from a certain perspective. And I know all these people who want to think that the world is fair and balanced and everybody can relate to everybody else's experience. I'm going to go with a no on that one, Chuck, to say that you do need female writers to see from a female perspective, and especially if they're black folks. I was going to say people of color. I was going to be politically correct. I was wrong for that. Now, I just want to invite you to listen to Black on Black Crime. You can write us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com because I have a couple of internet comments that I have. One says, I guess some white public relations person told him to say this, black entertainers don't have the guts to speak out about racial discrimination out of fear of white in control that will punish them. If he didn't have the guts to tell the truth, he should just kept his mouth shut, is what that comment said. Which I agree.
Wow.
Like, I don't know what publicist wrote. Well, whoever his publicist was when he's doing, he remember, he's doing the press tour for Ride Along, for the movie that came out.
Right.
So he's, now Ice Cube, actually the irony of that, Ice Cube owns that movie. So, you know, just like Friday, I have to give a lot of respect to Ice Cube. Creating
Cube's
vision as a movie company to do, you know, Friday and Barbershop and now Ride Along, these successful movies. Nobody talks about him like Tyler Perry, but he actually is owning his stuff. So Ice Cube, I remember when he did Anaconda. They wanted him to go on Anaconda, and he said, or his statement to the producers were, how many points can I get on it? Which means that if he's not a producer on Anaconda, he wasn't going to go on there because they were putting him on because he was black. They were trying to get, I mean, I know Jennifer Lopez was on it, but you know what I mean. They wanted a little bit more edge to it. And they gave him producer credit. So Ice Cube has been doing business in that business for a long time.
And you know what the thing I like about him in this show business? He is consistent. Like on every interview, he doesn't, his dialogue doesn't change. He's Ice Cube. He's got the same mean. He still looks like Doughboy, and he still comes across as Doughboy. But he's consistent. You know, he's eased up a little. He smiles and cracks jokes a little more. But, you know, he still seems like the same consistent Ice Cube from Anaconda, from, you know, and every interview, if it's the interviewer is black or white or woman or man, you're still getting the same Ice Cube. And I'm watching him on different shows as they're promoting the movie, and he's consistent.
Now, here's what I like about Ice Cube that he does not get any criticism for. Have you ever seen, now, Ice Cube, whether it was Are We There Yet when he was in with Nia Long, like he owned
Nia
all
Long.
Those movies. Yeah. You know, Ice Cube has never kissed a female in a movie. He's happily married and he
has
been for a long time.
She's got that look like him.
See.
And they've been married. He said they live in the same house. Their children are well-balanced.
He does
he's
not
a
play.
Dad, not a friend.
He does not play even in his relationship that, you know, you would say, hey, this is for my art. You know, I'm an artist. You know, I want to explore the range of acting. He didn't go through all of that. But,
sure didn't.
Yeah, one more internet comment about this Saturday Night Live was SNL made it a black thing when Kerry Washington, when they had Kerry Washington on the show and she had to play every black woman, including Oprah. Don't forget the caption on that episode said that due to no black women, Kerry Washington will be playing all of the black women in the skit.
Sure did.
So Kevin Hart is wrong on this one, and it's a shame that he can't tell the truth about it. That was our internet comment. You can write in bobc@soulofsyracuse.com if you have a comment about that. I should have saved that, Kai. We put in a new segment today called what did I say it was, Kathleen? Did we lose her? It's a segment called Where's My Publicist?
Who's your publicist? Who's your publicist?
Yeah. No. Where is my publicist?
Where's my publicist?
So, yeah. Now,
right here on Black on Black Crime.
Right here.
Call us right
Black
here. 1-800-BOBC.com.
I think the three of us can handle this one. So
I do.
On this segment of Where's My Publicist, Madonna caused quite a stir on social media Friday when she posted an Instagram. The photo is one of her 13-year-old son, Rocco, who was doing his boxing practice, right? The caption reads, "No one mess with dirty soap," I guess is his nickname. "Mama said knock you out, pound, dis, N-word is what she wrote. So Madonna, 55, then
she gonna make me
the photo
put her in an alley and whoop her butt.
Wait, she posted a photo with a different caption, this time lashing out at the critics of her original caption. In her second post, she wrote, okay, let me try this again. Hound, get off my D-haters. Now,
how
Madonna
about
adopted...
She said that?
Yes. Okay,
can
should I get to our apologies first, or do we need to just rake this over the coal a little bit? Let it marinate before I have to take a break, because Kathleen's going to curse that. I can feel it.
Oh,
yeah, because I'm
going
to be like, Kathleen, I got to go outside and get some cold water.
Oh,
I know. I can hear Kai, but Kathleen got a little quiet, because I know. So anyway, Kai, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like her to go do something mother-like and get off Instagram talking about pound whoever. It wasn't okay when Paris Hilton said it, when Gwyneth Paltrow said it. It definitely is not okay when Madonna says it. Sit down somewhere, Madonna. You were talented way back, still talented. I won't take away from her talent. But
right.
This whole you have children. Get off my D and pound this.
Yeah.
What are you, like, a 21-year-old rapper? Give me a break. You know, sit down somewhere. And it's unfortunate because all of her talent is being overshadowed by these little periods of misbehaving that she – it's like she's trying too hard to stay relevant. She's Madonna. She's going to be relevant anyway. But, you know, the more she talks and the more she goes on Super Bowl and kick her old legs up.
See, back to spreaders.
No,
I don't want to go through that for Madonna.
Just because she's Madonna. But, you know, wearing – thongs, and we get it. You're 55. Your body is beautiful. Just be Madonna without all of the controversy. Oh,
yeah. Now,
she's exhausted.
Now, in 1995, I think she has a problem with black people. In 1995, she wrote an article, she was in Spin magazine, and she said, "I believe that I have never been treated more disrespectfully as a woman than by black men that I've dated." It was black men that treated her the worst out of all of men. So I'm thinking, this is my thought, and I know this is going to sound really mean, but you were kind of trashy, so I wouldn't think that you had any classy
that's
people
not
that
mean
you were dating.
At all. And maybe she was trying too hard to not be who she was. If she stopped trying to be – okay, she's not a friend of mine, so I can say this. If she stopped trying to be so down and hard and like one of us, then they may not have treated her so badly or – what's her definition of being treated bad? Hey, you allowed yourself to be treated bad, you get treated bad. And she probably had it coming because she probably said the N-word to one of them. Ugh.
Right. And you know she adopted two Malawian children, like two black children.
Yeah.
And she's like, So.
And that's
so,
when I actually liked her, when she seemed really sincere. She seemed like she really, really
I think they
was
think
sincere about
pass.
Adopting these children. Yeah, but now all of a sudden,
like
because you have kids, you can use the N-word, and no.
Yeah.
No, she can't, you know, no.
She issued an apology on Saturday saying, "I'm sorry if I offended anyone." This is always comes later, right? Of
don't
my
nobody
want to
hear
of
that
the N-word on Instagram. It was not meant as a racial slur, and I'm not a racist.
That means she's a racist.
Classic for racist. I'm not a racist.
Some of my best
there's...
friends are black. Oh, whatever.
Exactly. Some of my best kids are, too. There's no way to defend the use of the word. It was all about intention. It was used as a term of endearment towards my son, who is white. I appreciate
then
that.
Then call white boy. Pound that white boy. Why didn't you say that?
Oh, yeah.
See, now you got me like Kathleen.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. It makes you. It almost makes it worse. So she said, "And I apologize.
Yeah.
If it gives people the wrong impression, forgive me. Like, if it gives the wrong impression, forgive me. But if not, I'm still cool." Okay.
Yeah.
That
she could have just said,
segment.
"I'm sorry, I was being a jerk. I shouldn't have said it. I apologize." Just leave it at that. Just,
all right. You
would have thought about forgiving her, but.
Okay. Now here's somebody else I can't forgive. So. while we're on this, where's my publicist standpoint as far as the show is concerned? Neil Brennan. Now, you remember, the Dave Chappelle show, how funny Dave Chappelle was.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, mm-hmm. or Dave Chappelle is, he's very funny. His friend, mm-hmm. who was white, was his boy Neil. He always talked about my boy Neil, right? And
yeah. mm-hmm.
he tells a lot of jokes about that. So Neil takes it on himself. And now, if you remember the story, when Dave Chappelle left Comedy Central, Neil stayed with Comedy Central. He kind of sold Dave Chappelle out, right? That was his way in. So Neil now does stand-up, right? Neil says, when asked about Quentin Tarantino and Spike Lee, some people question whether a white person should even write black characters. Neil says this, I think anyone can write about anything that they have knowledge of and exposure to. I think the best black screenwriter is Quentin Tarantino. Quentin may be a better black character writer than Spike. I mean, Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction is effing unbelievable. That would be Exhibit A. I actually think that's why Spike Lee is mad at Quentin. Quentin happens to write unbelievably rich black characters. Are you kidding me? I was going to let you go on this first, Kai, but technically, this is what having a white friend goes wrong does for you. Now, Jason Pell should do that,
shit.
Yeah. When your white friend crosses that line by thinking that he has the answer for race relations,
yeah.
just because Quentin Tarantino writes for cussing black people doesn't mean that he knows black people at all.
Right.
Sam Jackson's characters are very stereotypical.
And is that his point of reference, Samuel Jackson and
he
Pulp
said
Fiction?
Exhibit A was Samuel Jackson, he was effing unbelievable in Pulp Fiction.
He was unbelievable to him. To us, no disrespect to Samuel Jackson, he was a cursing, angry black man with a jerry curl.
He always plays those parts really well.
He plays those parts really well.
He's effing unbelievable at very racist, stereotypical black people parts. He played a good crackhead, and you know why? Because Sam Jackson recently revealed that he was on crack.
He was a crackhead. Yeah.
Yes.
And he said he
didn't
realize
he was
until someone brought it to his attention.
Right. If we're just talking about this, when Kathleen comes back, she wants to do a special on the Academy Awards. But I think Halle Berry should get Academy Award for her role in Jungle Fever because she played a crackhead with Sam Jackson.
She did.
Spike Lee didn't want to cast her. He said she came back in character. He said she's too pretty. It's not going to be believable. He said she was so believable. It was unreal that they had to cast her.
She didn't bathe for days and she,
she went in that character. So for somebody else who needs a publicist, I'm going to say this for Dave Chappelle friend Neil. Go hang out in Philly. Go hang out in Chicago. Go hang out and test your black credentials when you calling black people the N-word because you can do it on stage on Comedy Central in front of white folks and think that that's cool. But I'm sure Dave Chappelle did not tell you, Neil, don't do this around certain people. Right?
Yeah. But I need him to call Madonna and both of them go sit all the way down and don't get up.
You know what? They both need timeouts for that one because that's just wrong.
Yeah.
So
what did our parents say? And don't get up till I tell you to.
It's even worse than that.
God.
He crossed the line in just saying flat out, here's what I think that black people are missing kind of thing. So when you think that Quentin Tarantino, and this is probably why I didn't enjoy it. Well, I didn't watch it. What was that? Django?
Django?
Yeah. This is why I didn't watch stuff like that. The Django. Like, I didn't watch the Django or any of... I think the only Quentin Tarantino movie I've watched was the one with Rosario Dawson in. I can't even remember what it was. But in probably Kill Bill.
I forgot the actor's name.
It's
violent.
Yeah,
but I thought of you yesterday. I was watching an interview with Oprah and Spike Lee, and I have to humble myself and say I had a totally different perspective because he was just telling the history of his mother and his grandmother And his grandmother put him through school. She saved all of her Social Security checks. He said she taught in the school system for 50 years and never taught a black student. In where? Georgia. Never taught a black student because of the Jim Crow laws. And he said she was a very talented teacher, an art teacher. And he said so many people missed out. And just listening to the history of who he is and who his family was, his grandfather, his grandmother, and his grandmother was the daughter of a slave. But she, you know, saved her money, put him through college, and the generational, you know, generational leadership and achievement. And I said, you know what? I get it, Spike Lee. I humbly apologize. Not that I wasn't a fan before. I was a total fan. But, you know, he just always seemed angry.
Exactly. I often let you off the hook about that because I just kept saying it is a mischaracterization of Spike Lee because people only ask him questions when there's controversial things going on. So
right.
Spike said, I don't really like – he said as he got older, he realized he just can't answer those questions because people – It's like Mr. Farrakhan. Like, the only time we hear of him on CNN or ABC or CBS is when he says something that white folks find offensive. So black people think, oh, Mr. Farrakhan's racist. And I say, have you ever listened to him outside of those contexts?
Yeah,
and they
did.
Go, no.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I did. I think he's a very, very intelligent man.
Yeah. So you did watch the, what was it, Oprah?
It was Where Are They Now, I think. It was just, you know, he showed his humorous side, but when he spoke about his grandmother and just the dedication she had to her,
and
to future generations, you know, this legacy that he passed down, I was like, that was, and then they showed the clip of all of the people who were trying to attack him when Do the Right Thing came out, and the one white guy who stood in favor of him and was like, you know, that's Siskel Ebert it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I was like, wow.
Roger Ebert was the main one.
Yeah,
because
he kept
saying.
And who knew later he was married to a black woman?
Yeah, I actually knew that. See, I never want to do a show like that on, you know, these guys are married to black women. But, yes, he was the first one to defend
him. I just thought it was so awesome how he didn't apologize, how when he spoke, you know, he was unapologetic in what he was saying. As to, you know, just defending Spike Lee. And I hate that I hadn't seen that before, but I was like, okay, that is so awesome.
No, that's new. It's new. And I talked about it on a show when it came out like a few months back because, you know, he talked about his relationship with Tyler Perry. Did you see that part?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that part.
It was actually really funny because Oprah asked him about Tyler Perry. And he said,
that's her buddy.
Right. He said, Oprah, I already know that he was on the phone. As soon as I left out the door, I said, Oprah, guess who was here? And she just started laughing. She goes, no, I wasn't trying to set you up. Yeah, I did know. And he said, first off, I went to dinner at Tyler Perry's house. Tyler Perry, he said, I told him that the characters that he is doing is coming from his perspective, but he's saying from a filmmaker.
Right.
Now, Spike Lee is a professor at NYU as well. So he teaches
film. Right.
So
for
he said
20 years,
that
15, 20 years.
Yeah, you would not think that all of these prodigy filmmakers that are coming up actually came through Spike Lee, or people don't know that he produced Love and Basketball. It doesn't say Spike Lee Love and Basketball,
you know, and
Spike Lee Best Man.
I love the fact that it's not flatter all over, that they're low key, that they're, you know, they're working on their craft. And that's what's important to them. I don't think they're impressed by all the awards and the accolades. I think they do what they do because that's what they were born to do.
Yeah.
I want to be
and
like
that's,
that when I get
I want to be like Spike. And
I
want to
be like Spike.
And here's the thing. That's why that guy Neil's stuff was so offensive, because he took a shot at Spike Lee based upon a stereotype of Spike Lee without actually knowing who the heck Spike Lee is.
Without knowing him. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I know sometimes that we do that. Right. I'm saying sometimes we do that, but that is the liberty of being us, and that is not you, Neil. You don't get the liberty of actually pulling that off. So, like I said.
Sometimes you whoa, slow your roll.
Like I said.
Slow your roll first.
he hung around Dave Chappelle way too much and thought he had a pass. We should do that segment. Who think they got a pass? Because we're going to revoke passes.
Because didn't Cat Williams tell him? You got to have to say, you got to have to let them know they can't just say anything now.
There you go. Somebody need to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're going to take a break and come back. We don't know what the commission is, but I'm on with author and columnist Kai. Hey, Kai, there's some stuff I got to tell you I forgot about. All right. So anyway, we'll be back in a minute right after this message.
When we created the Acura RLX, we decided to take the other road. We believe luxury isn't about bling or flash. Courage invites critics. Go ahead. Future innovations are born from conversations. And sometimes the road that's less traveled is the one that surprises you. Introducing the Acura RLX.
What's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm on with my girl, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Hi.
Had to bring some party music back on, you know. Had to woosah from that other stuff. And we haven't even gotten into any Black on Black crimes. It was pretty much crimes on black. That was our theme, that last segment. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go there. All right. So you listen to Black on Black Crime. You can always email us at bobc@solasyracuse.com. You know I didn't open the chat room today, but my bad. But if Lavinia, if you're out there, hey, you can always call in and join us.
Hey, Lavinia.
909-265-9189 if you want to call in and, you know, join in on the program. Or if you just want to call in and listen, if you're listening to this in the archives, you can come check that out. Now, film critic Armand White versus film director Steve McQueen. I'm thinking, all right, well, let me do the Dwayne Wade one first because it's going to be shorter, and we'll do the Steve McQueen one second because I do have a break that we can play because he was on Arsenio. Since you have not seen Arsenio yet, he's doing some great jobs with some great interviews with folks that we normally don't see on TV, so it's cool. But NBA star Kevin Durant and Dwayne Wade. Now, Sports Illustrated released their top 100 players of 2014. In a recent interview, the Oklahoma City Thunder star Kevin Durant was asked about his reaction to Sports Illustrated's list, and the answer led to a shot at Dwayne Wade and from Dwayne Wade from Instagram. So Durant said, "I think you're missing James Harden," and asked which player which his former teammate should replace, and Durant replied without hesitation, Dwayne Wade, and listed Durant, you know, as number two. The Miami Heat world champion guard, Dwayne Wade, is number eight, and currently Houston Rockets, James Harden, is number 11. So Wade then directed an Instagram, not at not at Durant, I guess is what it's called. It says, Kevin Durant said James Harden should replace me in the top 10. Note to self, make him respect your place in history again because they beat them in the championship last time. So Dwayne Wade took a shot back at him. So
now, boys.
hey, it's sports, so technically, you know, somebody just can't. I think those two don't like each other. But anyway, Dwayne Wade.
I get that feeling, yeah.
Well, you know, there's this thing to be said about Dwayne Wade has three NBA championships, and Durant, no matter how good of a player he is, has none. You could be number two if you want, but LeBron still is ahead of you. So the top ten of the list was Carmelo Anthony, who is at on the Knicks, and then Kobe, Dwayne Wade, Dwight Howard, Tim Duncan, Russell Westbrook, Tony Parker, Chris Paul, or Cliff Paul, depending on your State Farm affiliation, or what was it, State Farm? Chris Paul. No, the commercials with Chris Paul and his twin. Okay. And Kevin Durant was number two, and LeBron James was number one. So I don't think there was a black-on-black crime there, but I just thought it was interesting that people are taking shots at folks on
I know, and you just got to be careful what you say, when, you know, during these interviews, because sometimes what is said and what is, you know, relayed is sometimes totally different. I'm just surprised. I don't know why it surprises me to hear that Kevin Durant would have any kind of ill intent. Maybe he really felt that way.
Well, he really likes James Harden, who went to a different team, and he really likes him. But for him to say that he would replace Dwayne Wade is kind of a shot at Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, because
you know,
I kind of like Dwayne Wade's response, though. Although I don't support that, I like his response.
Well, I support his response. Look, when you play sports, I'm going to say this from a testosterone part. Pound, make them respect you. It's kind of the credo.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
It's a mantra.
Sounds
right?
Like a peeing contest.
Hey. You know, there's a reason why we say that, because a peeing contest will actually happen. Like, guys are competitive with everything. So if you say, I can throw a baseball fire, they'd be like, yeah, but I can throw a spitball. And, you know, we will test every conceivable
spitball.
You know,
and you know,
speaking of that,
just be like, whatever.
I have to say, one of my favorite movies, and I never knew it was my favorite movie. I just know that I always watch it anytime it's on, and I can't stop watching it. It's Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac.
I've never seen that entire movie, but I caught the first 5 minutes of it about a week and a half ago.
Oh, you have to watch that movie, because the funny part to me is, speaking of that contest thing, what's his name, who's married to Sally Richardson?
Well, I know who you're talking
about. Who played in Cosby? He and one of the other ball players are constantly going 1, 2, 3, shoot. Like, they're always competing during the dugout of each game. They're seeing who can chew the most sunflower seeds. They're just, like, everything is a competition to them throughout the whole, you know, their whole relationship is, you know, a competition. So it's funny that you say that. A peeing contest. But anyway, all right. So on our topic, we have film critic Armand White versus Steve McQueen. Now, Steve McQueen directed 12 Years a Slave. So even though several people reported hearing this black film critic Armand White heckle the director at this New York Film Critics Circle Awards, he's denying that it never happened. So according to White, who has heckled people in the past, that he's never heckled Steve McQueen during his acceptance speech after winning an award. And that's curious since Variety magazine reported that people at the award ceremony heard all sorts of obscenities flowing out of his mouth, and even one who was sitting at his table. This is what she wrote. Before I tell you what she wrote, he was one of the harshest critics of the movie. He said, it's depicting slavery as a horror show, and McQueen has made the most unpleasant American movie since William Friedkin's 1973, The Exorcist. And he said, 12 Years a Slave belongs in torture porn genre with a hostel. And the Human Centipede and the Saw franchise, but it's being sold and mistaken as a part of a recent spat of movies that pretend to be a conversation about race. Now, he really does not like this movie. Now, I have to say
maybe
to black folks.
Perv.
Maybe he's just what?
A pervert.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
or maybe
South
he just is.
And all his violence. Good grief.
Yeah. So here's the thing about people who hold it down. It's like stereotypical of slavery, that there are always black mm-hmm. people who just cannot stomach black people doing anything that depicts white folks in a bad, what they perceive to be a bad light. Because from Steve McQueen's standpoint was, I don't know why everybody thinks slavery was like a cakewalk. Like, it was like,
yeah,
people were enslaved and they
it
let them
really
go.
It really did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's disturbed because he thinks it was too graphic. So, you know, his whole issue with, I know, it just seems kind of silly to me. But at this award ceremony, he went on to, you know, while Steve McQueen was, Harry Belafonte actually did the introduction as Steve McQueen gets up to get the award. So at the table was a columnist from Variety magazine. And she said that the people at that table had been drunk. Now, she's at the table. She said that he was at the table. He'd been drinking, and he was yelling that Steve McQueen was a doorman and a garbage man and all this other stuff, and he was yelling some obscenities as well. I'm not going to even repeat them because now I kind of think it's just a bit beyond the pale of what he actually said. So I'm not going to repeat what he said, but he actually kind of just went off. And so this reporter for Variety magazine said, no, I'm at the table, and he's yelling this, and they were all drunk, and now he's coming back saying he didn't say it. So, but that is a black-on-black crime because he didn't stand up for any other film and start yelling obscenities, but there's one black critic who
critic
does that for
black
films.
Also?
Yes.
Well, he can call him anything he wants, but he can also add Oscar nomination to that or Oscar winner to that. Make sure he puts that
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yep. And so with that being said, the odds makers in Vegas, because, you know, they can't really – they don't do odds on movies per se, but they say 12 Years a Slave has the best shot at winning the honors. Doing the March 2nd is the Oscars. And so the Wynn Las Vegas sports booking lists the slavery era drama as a 2-5 favorite to win the Oscar for Best Picture, Gravity Director a 2-3 favorite for winning Best Director, and America's Line, which is another sports betting place, makes 12 Years a Slave a strong favorite for Best Picture. So, and says that Cate Blanchett and help me out with this guy. Chetawell Ejiofor? How do you pronounce it?
Okay. Edifor. I was going to get his name right.
I was going to get it, too.
I really practiced it, too. Okay, say it
Chetawell Ejiofor or something. But he, they
I'm not even
going to
try it until I get it right.
But they said that
Ellen has been practicing, and she finally got it right. He was so proud.
Hey, it took me a while when I was doing radio on Clear Channels and some other places. Mm-hmm. Before I went in, I had to make sure I practiced Governor of Illinois. Like, Blagojevich. Like, I had to keep making sure I said his name right. Blagojevich. And I actually forgot his name.
Blagojevich.
Mm-hmm. Rod Blagojevich. If I were to remember his first name, I could have remembered his last. But, yeah, I had to do that with him, too. So, anyway, on that note, you know, we have, you know, he was on, Steve McQueen was on Arsenio, and he had a really good interview with Arsenio, and he talked a little bit about the movie and how it's, you know, how everyone's taking it and how, I guess what his thoughts were. And Arsenio did ask him about that particular reporter, and he kind of skipped it a little bit because he didn't give him any credit, like, he figured
and that's
why,
what classy people do.
Yes. Why promote that guy for him being an idiot? So here is Arsenio. Just a clip from it. If you want to go check it out, you can always check out Arsenio. It's 11 o'clock Eastern Here, well, it's syndicated, so it has different times and depending on which region of the country you're in. But Arsenio is actually a good sell, and I appreciate it for interviews like this. So here's Steve McQueen, the director of 12 Years a Slave, on Arsenio.
You got this book from your wife.
Yes, my wife found the book because I had this original idea of a free man who was kidnapped and tricked into slavery. But then that's all I had, and I hooked up with John Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the idea. I said, look, this is an idea, and we can work on an idea, a script for this idea I had. Things were going along slowly at that time. My wife said, why didn't you look into first-hand accounts into slavery? I said, of course, she being a historian. And we both looked into, did some research on this, and she uncovered this book, 12 Years a Slave. I mean, this book had been lost for 150 years. And what's so incredible about this book, 12 Years a Slave, by Solomon Northup, it is, I mean, what can I say? Solomon Northup is an American hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live in Amsterdam, and I when I read the book, it was almost like reading Anne Frank's diary for the first time.
Wow.
And that's how important an icon he is in American history.
What's your ultimate goal for that book? What would you like to see happen?
I want this book in every school in the United States. That will be my, I mean, that's I mean, I know we sold more copies of this book in 6 months of the film being released than 150 years of it being out in the public. I mean, it's on the best, it's on the top 10 seller list in the New York Times sellers list.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, that we can present Solomon and give him the due rights he deserves because he is an American hero, and undoubtedly.
I love the realism and the gritty
I mean,
approach to slavery, by the way. And I love the respect that you've given what it truly was. You know, we in pop culture have started to use slavery a lot. Many of us, black and white, using slavery a lot as this pop metaphor to our minor pains and discomforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we do our ancestors such an injustice by that. I like that you showed slavery for exactly what it is. And I know you get a lot of criticism for the violence and the way that you've done it. But I'll let you talk about all that.
Well, either I was making a film about slavery or I wasn't. And I decided I wanted to make a film about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, slavery, of course. How is it possible that you get these people for 400 years who are held in bondage? Through mental, physical, and psychological torture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted to make that film, you know. And also, it's about, you know, survival. It's about love. It's about why I and you are sitting here now. Because our ancestors wanted the best for us. Whatever difficulty they had, they wanted to survive and nurture and bring their children up.
Yeah.
And they did so through love, you know.
Yeah.
In the midst of violence, of course, but through love. You know, this kind of film hasn't been made before, quite frankly. And therefore, I wanted to give a real portrayal of slavery. So, you know, why hasn't it been done before? I don't know. In a way, I do know. I think, of course, there was a huge amount of embarrassment and a huge amount of shame about that particular time in history in America, and understandably so. But I think now people are willing to engage and look at the history, possibly for the first time, in a way that maybe they haven't done before. And I think it's no small thing that Barack Obama is the president. And in fact, I feel it allowed artists, not just filmmakers, to have the authority to tell their story.
All right, that was director Steve McQueen on Arsenio. You can check out Arsenio. Check your local listings. But Kai, you know, when I heard his, and you can check out his full interview on YouTube as he talked about it. Go ahead, Kai.
That was a very good interview.
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
He just kind of goes in depth even on the movie. Arsenio, the thing that I've always liked about his shows is when he has guests on, he don't run them in for a couple of seconds and then move another guest in. He will go to commercial, come
right
back with the same guest, and they actually
right
really get a chance to talk on Arsenio.
And I was getting ready to say, too, even when we were talking about Queen Latifah earlier, you can even just hearing from this interview today how he's matured. I mean, not that he's got,
yes,
it seems like
older.
He still jokes around, but he seems like a much more mature host now than the giggly days of Arsenio past, you know.
Well, right, because if you can imagine Arsenio having a show at that young, And, again, he's in, what, Coming to America and what
right.
was the other one? The one with Richard Pryor, Harlem Nights. If you can imagine hanging around, yeah, hanging around those guys. And the other day he had Tika Sumter on there who's in Ride Along. And
mm-hmm.
she talked about her time on Have and Have Nots. And she brought up Whitney Houston because Whitney
mm-hmm.
played her mother in
that, yes.
Yeah, and it moved him to tears. Like he grew up very emotional. Yeah, so him and Whitney and Eddie, they were all friends. So when they came on the show, he was playing. So he wasn't as mature because he just had his Hollywood friends there. So he was enjoying.
He had his friends with, right.
Exactly. So now it's kind of like he is interviewing and he's not as playing around as much, but he's still a comedian. He's still a stand-up.
He's still a stand-up, right.
Yeah. So he definitely did a good job on that. And and Steve McQueen, you know, I'm always – you know, kind of impressed to hear him. I've heard him speak about that movie before, and just the respect that they're paying to Solomon Northrup is kind of amazing to me. It was cool to hear.
I mean, in his accent, oh, my gosh. Oof.
he had Idris Elba.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone asked him about that and saying, seems interesting that whatever the guy's name, Edgefor, Chadwell Edgefor.
Mr. Edgefor.
Yes, he is British as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him
mm-hmm.
about doing a movie about slavery and how he felt about it. He goes, well, we're from the same place. Just because my ancestors were shipped to the Caribbean, they could have been on the same boat. They just split them up.
Right.
You know,
he said,
so we don't look at it like that. It's just Americans.
Right.
And it's funny, white Americans are the ones who are asking him that. It's like, well, you're doing a graphic job about African Americans. It's like, please don't mess with our Negroes. It's kind of how it sounds because if you put
his ancestors and ours in a room together, we're all in the same category.
And he's saying that they're probably brother and sister anyway. He says, so they might have taken the mother and the child, went to America and took the father and sent him to South America or sent him to one of the islands.
Right.
So he said there's a real chance of that happening. So we can't say one way or another that people are not related from ancestry-wise because of the way everybody was split up. But he also, yesterday, the Producer Guild Awards had the first ever tie for the top film prize, and it was yesterday. Both Gravity and 12 Years a Slave won the Producers Award for Outstanding Picture. It's the first time there's ever been a tie there. Interesting that
totally different kinds of movies. Wow.
For Sandra Bullock. And so I don't know if you saw the CNN story. Okay, the guy who we keep messing his name up. Do you want to say it or do you want me to say it? I'm just joking.
No,
so,
I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Okay, I will.
Edgefor.
So Mr. Edgefor, he has a sister who works for CNN.
No, I did not know that.
When the announcements came out, she was on TV on CNN. They
mm-hmm.
surprised her, and she was emotional on set of CNN.
Uh-huh.
She kind of broke down, and once they found out that he was nominated for, you know, the best actor, his sister's name is Zane Asher. So she said it was a heart-filled reaction.
I've heard that name
when
before.
She's the financial reporter for CNN. And that's his sister.
That is so interesting. And, you know, I remember him. He was in Kinky Boots, and he was also in the movie with Denzel. Spike Lee directed it.
Inside Man.
Yes. He was the same guy from Inside Man, and I was listening to him on Ellen. You know, you can hear his British accent, and I thought, that is so awesome. How, even with Idris Elba, how do they, with such a strong British accent, how, now that's good acting, when you're able to the American dialect and stuff, and you have this strong British accent. I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah, and here's our arrogance as Americans. We don't have an accent. That's a funny
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
I think they had to figure that out. Let's bring back our commissioner, and let's see if she has an accent. She must have us on mute.
I'm so sorry that I had to leave you for a moment. You know, Shelley, I'm back right now.
She's speaking
it. It's so amazing that you finally come back.
at the time, we were talking about one of my favorite actors.
I am so glad.
You know,
yeah, I am so excited that you chose to use your real voice to come on and stop. You know, I mean, you've been Americanizing yourself for a while now. So since Ildris came out, you got this guy coming out, all the British people coming out. It's coming out, everybody.
It just brings it out of them, I tell you.
I'm very excited about the fact that I'm able to finally just speak in my normal language. And it's,
now, in Britain, are you African-American or are you black? I don't really get that, but I just want to say you can feel free to be whoever you want to be right now.
We really don't identify as
just
African-American because we're not Americans. You know, we're from London.
You're African-Britain?
Yes. We're from Europe, so...
Can I call you AUK? Like, that's an African person from UK? I'm just guessing. AUK! It sounds like a slur, and maybe not. Speaking of London in 12 Years a Slave, the movie opened last week in the UK. It grossed $1.4 million in just 200 screens. Now, just to put it in perspective...
Wow.
Someone who had some really big movie had 400 screens and only got $6 million, but... They did, and just half the screens did $4 million, 401, and their screen average was over $20,000 per screen. Reports of sold-out shows makes it currently number one in the UK box office and in another 8 countries where 12 Years a Slave has opened, and it's already doing excellent business in Spain, Sweden, Russia, and Greece, so making it a worldwide total of $51 million so far. But with more territories coming in, the film, it looks like it's going to surpass $100 million worldwide. 12 Years a Slave, that does not get any play here.
Wow.
It may hit $100 million worldwide.
See, that's what happens when you underestimate the audience. You just never know, you know?
Well, that would just be American audiences. You know how we do. We like to suppress.
Yeah.
That was a big knock on 12 Years a Slave. They thought people were going to riot. That was
What is that about? Can they stop acting like we're savages and we can't handle going to a movie?
Yeah. That would be called thinking low of black folks. I just had to put that out there.
Wasn't that the same concern when Spike Lee did Do the Right Thing? They thought we were going to riot, and they blamed him for it. Oh,
yep.
Come on,
so
people.
Any discontent that comes out, it was Spike Lee because of Do the Right Thing, and now black people won't get pizza no more. Like, it was like every time we go to a pizza place, remember Do the Right Thing? I want more cheese.
Wow.
Get it. All right, now in the world of news and entertainment, the CW has announced that it greenlit a reality series titled Barber Battle with Cedric the Entertainer. So Cedric is going to have another show. Cedric's going to have 12 jobs like Steve Harvey. Barber Battle will visit different barbershops across country. And each of the 10 episodes that they ordered, the most talented barbers from across the country will compete to showcase their artistic haircutting abilities.
That should be interesting. Hmm.
Now, are these black barbershops?
I don't think white barbershops actually cut styles in your hair, but that's just me. I'm not sure. I've never seen it. Beside a strict
and
mohawk,
if it exists,
I would
like to see it.
Kathleen's trying to give a little balance to this, but I'm telling you, I don't think that
I've
seen anybody.
Because this is Barbara Bell's, you know.
I was just
wondering.
All right, fine. Since Kai is on and Kathleen's here, I guess we might as well play black or white. You want to play black or white? Because you just threw that at the black or white category. I have a couple of categories for both of y'all. Since she's not looking this time, I guess we'll go into black or white. Now, this is where we go through some of the news stories that happened, and we get to name, I'm going to give you the story and point out the person, okay, to say, and you guys are going to tell me if they're black or white. Now, the first one is a Houston bus driver was arrested for leaving a child on the bus while she attended Zumba class. Now, she was charged with a felony child endangerment for the incident. The child was discovered after school administrators called the child's parents to report that the child was absent from school. So the parents called back and said, hey, we put him on the bus, blah, blah, blah. Now, is the bus driver black or white? I'm going to go with Kathleen first before she looks this up. Kathleen, bus driver, who attended Zumba class. That should give it away.
She's black.
Okay, Kai, was the bus driver who left the student on the bus black or white?
I don't know why I'm tempted to say she's white. Only because they seem much more, well, how do I put this gently? We would say, oh, we'll miss this class, we'll go to the next one. They'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm going
to
miss
my class. I need to go. yeah, I need to go now. All right, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna flip a coin on this because she was Hispanic, but she was white. Her mugshot was so, but her last name was Hispanic. So we won't deduct points from that one way, but she was white. So anyway, see, I took it back. I was gonna lean, but no. So the next one is the police from Memphis, Tennessee, said a teacher locked a 5-year-old in the closet and then left because she was feeling sick. So she forgot that the kid was in the closet. And when the substitute came in, and not until an hour later, that when the child had to go to the bathroom, that they find out that the child was in the closet. So I'm going to say this. Was the teacher black or white? Kai, you can go first on this. The teacher locked a 5-year-old kindergarten.
I'm going to say she was white.
It was in Memphis. It was in Memphis, and 5-year-old locked in the closet kindergarten.
Okay, she might have been black.
Yeah, okay, so since you chose both of them, I'm going to let you have one more chance at this. Was she black
okay.
or was she white? You guys did both
I'm
of
sorry,
them.
I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted.
I just wanted 2 out of 3
puppy,
out of you.
My puppy has $40 of mine in his pocket, in his mouth, and he ran under the table. So,
yeah, you better calm him down.
He's chewing up $40 of my money.
No. You better talk him down. Go get your money. All right, so we're going to go to Kathleen. Go get your money, Kai. Kathleen.
Yeah, if
was...
I don't
wait a minute. But the dog is black.
He's going to be dead. He just bit a whole chunk out of two $20 bills.
All right, fine.
Okay,
you,
he's a dead
you can
dog.
Take it to the bank. And I would say if Kai was white, she'd wait till
my dog
the dog
ate
pooped
my money.
And then she'll get her money back. But anyway, I am not going to suggest that. You can take RIP money to the bank and they'll give you a whole one back. So don't worry about it. Just go to the bank. All right, so you don't have to wait for your dog to poop. All right, Kathleen, was the bus driver black or
and
white?
And dig through the poop to get the $40.
No, I'm not going there.
All right.
Kathleen.
You brought it.
She's a minister.
You started it. I'm like, okay, sorry. Now, what I want to know if the teacher who wasn't feeling well and put the kid in the closet, why now? Why did she put the kid in the closet in the first place?
Who
was
knows?
The child
she
hanging
said
up
the child,
coat?
She said the child was acting out, so she put the child in the closet, the 5-year-old, and then she got sick. She wasn't feeling well, so she called in the substitute, left, and forgot that the kid was in the closet.
Locked in the closet.
Locked in the closet.
Okay, now, all right, so she on purpose put the kid in the closet. Was the child white or black?
No. I would do that, but then No, you can't change the rules. Was the teacher black or white? But I can give you a hint.
Okay, what's the
no
hint?
Child?
Give me a hint, please.
Okay, so Kai is going to have another shot at this, too. Here's your hint. No charges were filed.
No charges were filed, yeah.
Okay.
I figured that. The child was black. The teacher was white.
All right, is
sorry.
That what you're going
I'm
with?
I'm sorry. People are going to think I'm racist. All right, let me take that back. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize.
No, this is not CNN. We don't, no. That was an assessment based upon your experience. You get to have those. Kai, you're up. I'm going to give you
my question was going to be, did the parent get beat up or not did the teacher get beat up by the parent?
Did the teacher get beat up?
Yeah, because
no.
That would determine a lot. But I think she
no,
was
but it was reported by the other children that this is not the first time that the teacher has locked kids in the closet.
Yeah, I'm going to say she was white.
Okay. All right, so I just want to let Kathleen off the hook on this one. the teacher was white and the child was black.
There you go. There you go.
You don't have to feel bad.
I'm so disappointed that I was right.
Now, the child's name was Akilah, so I didn't want to say her last name, but that would have threw it. So I didn't want to go there, but yes, she's right. And Department of Child Services had been notified. They just said that they're investigating it, and the substitute teacher.
And they're investigating the parents, right?
Oh, God. And so the school district did say that they were, the school district did say that they were going to technically investigate it with the police department. They're going to investigate that later. So, all right, so that was black and white.
Okay, investigate.
See, I did have one more black and white, but this was another teacher, and this woman was found guilty of having sex with a 12-year-old, and I just wanted to say she was sentenced to 38 years in prison. Was she black or white? See, that's a little different.
Yeah, she was absolutely black. She was black and the child was white.
Because out of all the stories that we do, you know, the teachers have been getting off like crazy. I mean, most of them get off. I just wanted to tell you that.
Violating our children. I don't understand that.
But Shia Zamata made a low-key but notable debut on Saturday Night Live as the first black female cast member since 2007. As usual for an SNL newcomer, Zamata kept a low profile on Saturday's broadcast.
Oh, it was
I almost
key,
forgot
right.
She was on the show.
Yeah.
I don't think we saw her anymore after about 12 o'clock.
Well, they said she played alone. She played Rihanna.
She did what?
She played a role, including Rihanna and a teenager at a slumber party.
She played Rihanna?
Mm-hmm.
I must have blinked or something. Missed it.
Wait a minute. You know Rihanna's light-skinned, so you know how... I'm just joking. All right. On that note, you see, I was going to go someplace else with it, but I didn't want to commit the crime myself. All right. I just want to remind you, listen to Black on Black Crime. You can check us out next week. Who knows what time we're going to be on? I'm just joking, Lavinia. That was a joke.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Hey, no.
I'm
going to
be late for it anyway. Don't matter.